Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Goodison Park, where Everton have avoided yet again the unthinkable. Everton 1, Bournemouth 0. The tap-in of a game to keep us up is one that we somehow managed to take hold of. Certainly didn't feel like it was going to happen, getting towards the hour mark, and an unlikely source if we're going to go back to December and January in a man who we all thought was destined to leave this football club in Abdoulaye Doucouré. He's been massive today, massive at Brighton, massive in recent weeks, and him and a few others have managed to keep this for long spells hopeless team in this league that we so belong to be in. An altogether different atmosphere at the end of the game today. We're just, as we talk, coming towards the end of a small-scale pitch invasion. I think the more subdued atmosphere inside the ground right now is brought about by sheer intolerance for this situation that we've somehow managed to find ourselves back in. Chance of sack the board after the game. Obviously, jubilation in the fact that we managed to stay up. But to go back 12 months, we have exactly the same feelings now in that this simply should not be happening. This situation should not be happening to a football club like Everton. We appreciate the faults that this football team has, but serious change and serious improvement needs to happen inside this football club in the coming months. Otherwise, we are slowly sleepwalking to a far darker day than the one we've experienced today. A great performance. I think it was exactly the performance that we needed, exactly the last 20 minutes that we needed. I think so often we've criticised this football team for not knowing how to use their heads and close out games, and it's something that we've done remarkably well today. I think the ball must have been in play for about 7 minutes of the final 30, but it's exactly what we needed. The collective anger and aggression that Goodison Park is so capable of generating served us so well today. But I think we all collectively agree that this is something that never should have happened today after last season. It should never happen again. And as much as we don't carry a feeling of expectation, and you know, we appreciate again the faults that this football team has, and we simply cannot come here again. And you know, so much of the football club, and I include pretty much every individual player, needs serious improvements in the summer, and we hope the changes will affect this team positively on every level.
Everton are going to be a Premier League team again next season. Fucking hell. I wasn't there today. I was in the office, so I'm just going to hand over to the lads. Keith Tomlin on my right. What was that like to go through?
That was a 2-hour-long panic attack at the end of a week of absolute misery. Someone's trying to drive down Hackens Hay in a red car, and they're getting absolute pelters, deservedly. Anyway, do you know what? If we take that to a football game, outside of the context of everything that's going on.
Hey. I wish this was an old video, Marcus.
If you take it to the context of a football game outside of everything else, Everton actually played really well today. I think they controlled the game. They controlled possession.
Nice,
they
were.
I mean, Bournemouth came forward a few times, but we never really looked in too much danger, apart from obviously Yerry Mina's colossal block towards the end of the first half. And Pickford's save in the second half towards the end when it was 1-0 that kept us in front. Other than that, I think Everton were very good today. Like, collectively, as a team, they from 1 to 11, they played very well. They controlled the tempo of the game.
It's extremely reasoned, by the way. A measured and analytical thinker.
It is, because I'm only on about my seventh pint. If you caught me in about an hour, it would have been a lot different and the language would have been terrible, but I think this guy. There we go. He's gone. So, genuine. Yeah, I think we were the better side. You could tell Bournemouth were on the beach. They didn't really. Apart from the last 10 minutes, when he called 10 minutes of injury time, Bournemouth were playing like it was a World Cup final. And honestly, I thought my heart was going to like shoot straight out of my chest. Other than that, I don't think there was any real too many worries. Do you want to get a little bit of crowd noise in the background? Everyone's having a lovely little sing-song.
Like, this is going to make my in-stadia intro sound very, very subdued, but I promise you it really wasn't like this in the ground, was it? And I think that's the shock for me today is, I mean, firstly that Everton won a football match, but also the fact that as soon as that final whistle went in, as soon as kind of the pitch cleared and stuff, It was very, very different to last year. I thought very, very different.
Even this bit now.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, you know, in the ground, there was a, you know, how many people have we joked about outside the pub here saying the words, this can never happen again and never again next year. And it's because we sat in exactly the same position last year and said those words. But it really does feel like the tolerance for this sort of nonsense is gone now, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
And sadly, you know, it annoys the fuck out of me when people from outside of Everton say, well, you tell me who's to blame for all this. And honestly, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say there isn't a person employed by Everton Football Club who I would retain at this point. You look around at every single position.
You'd be nice to Jordan Pickford. Forget it.
Do you know what? He's
my hero and saviour.
He's a great player. He's probably been Everton's best player this year, but he is ultimately part of a failing football team on a consistent basis now. You know, we're not pointing individual fingers here, but What I'm trying to transcend is that wholesale changes are needed at pretty much every level. You know, we've got footballers today who are getting linked with multi-million pound moves. You know, again, we don't have to name and shame them, but there's no one here who symbolises football greatness. And I'm not saying that we're entitled to that as Everton fans, but we absolutely do not deserve this. You know, the ticking time bomb of relegation, it's palpable, isn't it? We all know that unless there is enormous change within this football club, it's coming. And I appreciate that this probably isn't the moment for this big scale in-depth podcast about, you know, the problems that exist within Everton Football Club, because we'd need a good 4 hours for it. But you know, there is a more obvious sense of relief than joy this year, I would say. But it certainly feels more like one we've gotten away with because we've been so consistently bad this season, as opposed to just snatching it at the death last year. There is a, you know, we are consistently bad, and I think that's been the major disappointment for me. And I can't even predict what happens next for Everton, because all of the things I want to happen, I bored myself with all of this narrative last season, and nothing really changed.
Well, I don't know about you, but last year after the Palace game, I stayed behind. I didn't go on the pitch because I'm a grown man and, you know. I stayed behind, gave him a bit of a clap. They fought and worked and dug themselves out of a hole last year.
Yes, yes.
This year, it feels like, genuinely, we stayed up this season because other teams were worse than us. Yeah. Not because we deserved to stay up through our own hard work. Leicester and Leeds have, over the last 2 months, imploded, which has given Everton a door, and they've climbed through it. So I'd rather, like, as soon as that final whistle went today, I got off. I didn't want any part of it.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to come back here and spend the time with the people that actually deserve to enjoy today. The ones that have been through it week in, week out, every week this season. Newcastle at home, Brighton at home. Those sort of games where we got absolutely leathered and the club showed us nothing, and yet we still turned up for them.
What overall thoughts?
Can someone just tell me, can someone just talk about how boss the Corey's goal was for a bit?
Well, yeah, it was boss. But I just preface what I say with two words. Not dead.
Do you know what?
It was not dead yet, now it's not dead.
Under Corey, it is mad to think how massive he's been in the last 5 months.
And Lampard wanted him gone in January. He was, play him at any price.
He could only have been a matter of hours from a transfer to Fulham, was it?
And the speed at which he came back and became an integral player.
And it's not,
I think,
you know,
it was about 35 minutes.
It's a fantastic strike today. I've seen that lad smash those into row double P in the park end. So how he managed to control it, I've no idea. But he was enormous for us for probably the entire back half of the season. Brighton comes to mind. Notts Forest comes to mind. You know, we essentially...
Arsenal.
Absolutely. We changed our style of play because we realised that he was actually quite a good footballer and quite useful for us. And he's obviously adopted this role in between, you know, whatever lacklustre striker we've played and the other seven centre midfielders that usually play for Everton. But I think the enormity and the moment belonged to him. I think it's fitting that he was probably the... arguably the man of the match. I thought James Garner had a really good
game
in a,
phenomenal.
In a position that obviously was totally unfamiliar to him, but
very much like Iwobi at the back of the last season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other day, James Garner would have been hands down man of the match today.
He was
phenomenal. They didn't get a sniff down that left hand side the whole game, and for a player who's a centre midfielder playing as a right wing back, he gave us an outlet going forward, and defensively he was absolutely superb. He was
a wild Boyland appears.
A wild Boyland is approaching across the car park. I think
we might even
get him on the podcast here.
I mean, let's go to Dave first. How do you feel after that?
Euphoria is there, mate, but the longer I start thinking about this after everyone's had the bevy and all that, it's like, and I think everyone will start saying it just can't happen again. And look, don't want to put a downer on this because, like I said, that word euphoria, about us staying up here, got the Athletic's best just strolling past us here, like he can talk in a minute. What Keith was saying there about James Gardner, being able to, like, the trust you put in somebody to play that sort of position, particularly when we're playing centre backs, three centre backs there, which I've not ever rated for us playing in that sort of way. To put him there, a right wing back, I looked at the lineup and said, what the fuck's he doing here? Has Dyche been having a bevy before he picked this team? You see that, and then you see McNeil doing what he was doing and all that. And do you know where it's really frustrating is seeing a team that can perform like that? You do that, I don't know, pick your name of weeks ago. You start playing like that, you're nowhere near in this position. And that's what is frustrating about it. But, yeah, I thought with Bournemouth as well, again, like, I think Keith stole me line there when they started playing like they were in the World Cup final. That felt like that from the start. Every single time they're getting the ball, fucking Solanke, who the shite fucked off to them, he started knocking it round like he was fucking that Nunes that they've got or something like that. It was
basically every time they crossed the halfway line, wasn't it? It was like, oh God, here we go, they're going to score.
The other one I think don't be mentioned enough has been Garner as well. I think he's been shite all season. Today he stepped up. I thought he was fine. I thought he was disciplined in where he played. Onana, I think his head went a few times. I think he was lucky not to get a yellow card. I think what most of the lads have echoed there, Matt, is the Corey getting Decore staying at the club, exactly what Mo said there, was incredible. The fact that he can go from basically leaving the club probably the next day to putting in what he actually was today was absolutely fantastic. And yeah, I mean, you look at this now, and the first thing I put on Twitter after it, Matt, was you've got to start looking at next season now.
Do we have to? No, we don't.
I'm not talking about us, although me and you might too, Matt. But yeah, the club itself, mate, the fact that we're in the, and it is that fucking, how we all feel now, the relief and happiness, and everyone's having a laugh and listening to all the great music and all that. It's just shit that it's because we've battled to stay up. Do you know what I mean? I am putting a massive down on everyone here, like, but fuck that it's a conversation for the future, isn't it? But you look at the sides that went down. I can't believe Leicester have gone down. Leeds were sort of thinking it because they've had about 9 managers this season. Fat Leicester went was mad, and 36 points to stay up. Don't know why we've done that either. So look, count yourselves lucky once again. Probably luckier than last season. This can't do it for the third time because it's just not going to happen if you keep doing this.
Leicester for me is probably the best squad to go down on paper since Leeds that time.
Yeah,
like it's crazy the players they've got.
Their first goal today was like a brilliant move, intricate.
Should defending, I would say, but you know,
go and take half of their players, don't know.
But yeah, honestly, if their best 11 versus our best 11, you're talking maybe Pickford and Iwobi might get in.
Yeah,
like
that's an excellent point.
I said it outside of the, it was Leicester actually,
yeah.
Speak to Phil Hay from The Athletic, and I said it'll be a robbery if we stay up, and we've just done the height of the century there. We really have.
Yeah.
But it's just, I mean, what can you say? I said to one of the regulars there, we stayed up by the skin of our teeth. Is it anything to celebrate? Well, 17 teams avoided relegation. We just did it last. That's the simple.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
We go from 8th to 17th. We've all done the same thing. We just waited till the last day to do it. The last half of the last game. So everything gets reset now to zero.
Allardyce was fucked off as well. That's boss, isn't it? The fact Allardyce.
Second relegation in a row for him.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking reference tonight to like being happy about it and all that. It's like we come to the best place in town as well, don't we?
If we can't be happy about this, we may as well pack up for four.
And I mean, you know, you don't want to revel in teams getting relegated, but a team that's saying about poverty and about certain politics every time they come to Goodison Park. Les Roberts is here to take over from me there with that.
Sorry, I just think, right, we've lost Leicester, but we've inherited Luton. Now, I am convinced that when Luton come to Goodison next season, we're going to be like, those Leicester lads were all right, actually, weren't they? Because I think they're going to be horrific.
Every one of their games is going to be like a top category game.
Yeah, right now, it's probably going to be a better one.
I'd probably just echo what Matt said there. It's like, it's no celebratory mood, but you've got to enjoy this because it's the best we've got. It's like, you know, we've stayed up, after 60 minutes, it wasn't looking very likely. Leicester were 2-0 up. I didn't think there was a goal in that game at all. But now Abdoulaye Diakore has wrote his name.
Didn't they go 2-0 up after we went 1-0 up?
Oh, I don't know. Either way, they were winning. So as soon as they were winning against West Ham, we had to win that game. Yeah. And we did. I didn't think there was a goal in that team, and there probably wasn't. There just happened to be that fucking wonder strike from Decore, which now goes in the annals of history with Gareth Farrelly and Barry Horn.
What is it with midfielders?
That's Barry Horn! That is like... That is like three last day relegation escapes and three absolute worldy goals to do it for us. So, you know, you could say Dice got it right today because he set that team up to not lose and nick a goal, and we did. It's not cause for celebration, but it's all we've got at the minute, so we've just got to like enjoy this moment because we have stayed up, and it's nice that we've stayed up. It's good that we've stayed up because going down would have been unthinkable, we all know that, and it's just, I know we say never again, but fucking hell, there needs to be some change at that club now.
No footy, no Everton for 2.5 months either, which is going to be amazing. Laura, I just want to just say, like, on Friday you got a birthday present. It was James, Tarkowski pillow with his face on, with him in the nude, you could say as well. And I said to you, didn't I, if he makes a mistake,
I was fuming.
If he makes a mistake on Sunday, I'm getting that pillow and burning it. So I don't know what went through your head when he played that horrendous pass at the end of the first half.
I was literally just saying to Mose then that there are 3 points that I remember from the game today. The goal, Tarkey's mistake, and Jordan Pickford and Solanke, that whole, like, whatever the fuck went on there. But honestly, like, I just thought I had visions of me fully going home and just binning that cushion. But now, do you know what, though? Apart from that mistake, I think I had a good game. And I think as well, don't know whatever everyone else has said, but James Garner,
yeah.
I think he had a fantastic game there, as we're now calling him Jimmy Bidston. Jimmy Berko or Jimmy Bidston.
Jimmy Bidston.
Any of the names along the Wirral line, that is his new nickname. But yeah, Tarkey, I could have killed him. Genuinely could have. I was like, this can't happen, because I know that I'm going to go back to the pub to a million people wanting to kill me. Wanting to kill me, like blaming me for it, which obviously it's not my fault. But we're fine.
What was it like? I mean, what was it like in the ground when Leicester went 1-0? Like, was it? Did the mood stay with the players and positive, or was it like proper? Because on Sky they were sort of saying like it went deathly silent when that news came through.
It wasn't like so. It was just before half time, and you could tell the whole ground was nervous. And there was a good atmosphere today, but you could tell everyone was nervous. And I think it just sort of went. Everyone took a little minute, went right. Okay, fair enough. But Everton had a few chances just before the end of the first half.
Made some great saves there,
Oh, I thought we were having another Sebastian Frey day, honestly.
But,
I mean, going into half-time, the players got a good round of applause. And coming back out at the start of the second half, the energy was back. It was a positive energy. It was pushing them forwards rather than getting on the backs. And yes, there were mistakes today. There were a few misplaced passes. There were a couple of poor crosses and whatnot. But nobody really got on to them. Everyone just went, right, okay, let's go again. Let's get the ball back, recycle and try again. And it's genuinely, like, as good a Goodison crowd as I've ever heard. It was, even when I've watched, we say, successful, decent Everton teams, the atmosphere today was up there with them. It was a positive atmosphere the whole way through. Everyone was behind them. Everyone was pushing them forwards. And I think the players did respond to that as well. I think you could see as well, there was a moment where Dwight McNeil came from left back to chase their right winger, then the right back, then the keeper, then the left back. It was like a 70-odd metre sprint. And the crowd react to that, the crowd respond to that sort of thing, and that's what we needed today.
That was really funny, that what you mentioned about that move that he did, because they had no chance of winning the ball. It was almost like he was just running around the pitch just to get the fans up, weren't he?
He never got within 20 yards of the ball at any point, but he was running really fast.
It's that effort, isn't it, that you want to see from the team. Like, you're literally fighting. But I think for me, like, I had a different experience with the whole Leicester and Leeds score, where I had signal and also I sit right behind the media, so people would tap me on the shoulder going, Laura, what's the update? What's the update? I'm going, I actually don't know at this point, because he's changed his laptop screen to do some typing. But I had a couple of journalists turn around saying different things, and it was, do you know what, I don't even know if it was a good thing or a bad thing, because it just, my anxiety just kept going through the roof every time someone was telling me something else, and I'm like, just,
there was a moment at Leicester where someone had obviously told them that Bournemouth had equalised, and all their fans were going mad, thinking that they were staying up as a result.
That's actually made my day.
Tell you what, get videos of that on the socials right now. Just a quick word on them Bournemouth fans. They are horrible, aren't they? Couldn't sell their allocation for the last game of the season. We'll just let Hackens Hay take over.
We have no manners. We spend our dollars. We are expected wherever we may go. Oh, marching down the Goodison Road.
We'll start to wrap this up now. Les, 10 minutes of injury time.
Outrageous.
It wasn't outrageous. I was expecting longer, to be fair.
No,
with the Pickford thing.
I thought
and
that.
Then Mina getting up.
Well, With that, I thought the last time our keeper went down injured and loads of injury time was added on, Mane scored a winner in the 96 minutes. I was getting full on Stecklenberg vibes there. Yeah, I was not happy with that. Can I just give a shout out to James Garner, who is the right back that Tom Davis could have been?
I think everybody's given a shout out to him.
He's been fucking at Garner. He's the man, honestly.
Tom Davis had a shave as well, lad. You noticed that?
Oh, didn't he?
Proper clean shave, looked 12. Honestly,
James Garner's had more shout outs than a David Guetta concert here. This is incredible. Every single person has said, oh, quick shout out for James Garner.
This is what happens in the pods. Like, everyone just stood everywhere. It's like, no one hears what everybody else is saying.
Get Jimmy Garner to the pub, we'll get him a bevy.
Get Jimmy Bidston to the pub and he'll get a bevy.
Did you see the meaner thing though? When that happened on the line and fucking Solanke went down. It was kicking off on Pickford. They had a square up. And Mina goes to him, grabs his neck, and almost looks like he's about to bite his neck. And he, like, it just stops in enough time before he probably puts his teeth into him. And I'm thinking, he's getting a red card here.
Did you see the other Mina one for me? Like, obviously, the block was massive. He's had a 12 out of 10 game today. He was a colossus. But the biggest one for me, that got the biggest cheer from me, was a corner. There was about 85 minutes gone. It was a corner or a cross. Pickford caught it. Mina climbed on his back and made him lie down on the ground.
It looked like he was bumming him, didn't he?
Absolutely brilliant. And obviously he's given him a great big neck in the tunnel on the way back. Yerry Mina, for me, you know his faults. You know his, like, he's made of biscuits. He's not going to play you 38 games a season. But the reason, one of the big reasons we've stayed up this season, like we mentioned earlier, was Doucouré. Mina's another. Since Mina's come back in, that defence looks competent. It looks like a solid defence, a well-organised unit. And again today, he was absolutely massive. Everything that came forward, he was the first one out of the line to win a header or win a tackle. He was chasing wingers down and everything. He was sensational today. And obviously, he's going to move on after the season. We know he's going to move on. But God bless him. I love the man. And I hope he has nothing but happy things in his life.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Shout out to Rob Vera for that one.
Rob Vera will be on his way now.
One of the best things that happened to Everton in the latter part of the season was Michael Keane getting fucking legged by Newcastle at Goodison. Because, as Keith said, without Yerry Mina coming back into this side in the last few weeks, and, you know, none of us are standing here waving the Colombian flag for staying 4 more years, apart from Rob. But I think, you know, it's also a healthy way of thinking to say you were so good and so applicable for this particular tiny segment of our history, but let's all move on. And, you know, obviously Yerry Mina is going to do that. And I think, you know, a lot of players are going to be of a similar ilk. But I think it would be remiss of us to move on without giving a small nod to James Garner.
James Garner, a hell of a guy.
Paddy, we're going to finish now, but you're going to get the final word.
Say it.
I mean, everybody on the podcast has said I want to give a shout out to James Garner. So, do you want to give a shout out to James Garner?
Genuinely, would give. I did in my piece that I've just filed as well. I gave an athletic shout out to James Garner. Thought he was great. Obviously, a tough day, really tense, but they just about got over the line in kind of typical Everton fashion. So, great afternoon in the end, and an unbelievable goal to keep them up. Doucouré, the kind of symbolic of the improvement under between Frank Lampard and Sean Dyche.
The one thing I want to say, no one's mentioned his name, is Cody. Thought Cody come in, proper professional performance. That his interview at the end of it as well was absolutely spot on. Comes in as a proper leader, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And the thing was, he hasn't been played. The thing he'd fought Dyche with a lot of it was not getting Mina in. but also probably not putting him in a little bit more as well, because he's only played like two games or something, hasn't he, under Dice? Come on off the bench or something.
I thought that block from Yerry Mina is probably the pivotal point in the whole game. The one from Solanke, look, for all the world, that was going to be 1-0 Bournemouth. And I just don't see Everton scoring two in that game and coming back to win it from there. So that's the key moment in the match for me.
That's a really mental piece of football from James Tarkowski that led to that. You know, how in a game of that magnitude you make decisions to dally on the ball, I have no idea. But you know, another man who did that early in the season and has probably been mentioned by seven of you is Idrissa Gueye. I think he just carried the entire team today. He was unbelievable, and he even got in his token spooning shot when it went through on goal, which obviously was there just to be slid into the back of the net. And yeah, it was a good tip over the bar. But I thought he was massive in the middle of the park. I'm just so tired of the entire season. We said outside the game before that I think last year we got back into Liverpool with that sense of euphoria. We all got back in the Denby Castle and said, I don't know when I'm going to sleep next. I think if you banged a load of tents out now, we'd all be gone. Because this entire season has just been the most draining experience in a lifetime of people standing around here that have never witnessed any form of joy from a football team. But to take us to this brink of misery is something else. But never again, at least.
We will wrap up now with Ed McCosh. Ed, how did you find that, mate?
I don't know if anyone's mentioned it yet, but a shout out to James Garner. I thought he was really good. Has anyone covered that? Oh yeah, okay, good. I'm not really sure how to feel. I think everyone's entitled to celebrate, to feel relief. You don't have to be performative and immediately get after what needs to change. But once the dust has settled, obviously a lot needs to change, because I'm, for one, sick of all the different mentions and all the different stories saying this is our worst points record, worst scoring record, etc, etc. Enough of us being the worst. There are enough lows.
Just this, hasn't it? Just like scrambling to safety and like this existential dread that we've all had now for probably the best part of 24 months. There has to be more than something.
It's like having a day of Christmas, and that's it, isn't it? Everyone's pissed off because it's the day after Christmas.
The worry is, for me, like, there's only so much you can keep circling the drain before it just you go down in it. We can't keep doing that.
It has to be accepted now that changes need to be sweeping. From the top to the bottom, all the way through, we need to completely correct the way we're doing things and correct course, because otherwise we're going to be exactly here again next year, maybe not so happy, maybe not singing and chanting. And I've personally had enough of it. So it's a huge summer. It's a huge year in general. We've got to work out who we can trust and who we can't. I really don't begrudge the decision makers, but it's going to be another roller coaster for us, and hopefully it's a lot calmer than this one.
Yeah, we'll leave it there, because it seems like it's going to absolutely piss down any second outside here. But yeah, that's it. Everton are safe. Enjoy your summer. Thanks for sticking with us for the course of the season. Cheers again to the Denby Castle as well, who've been amazing with us all year. The absolute best boozer in town for Blues. Win, lose or draw, always rammed, always singing. Great people. They have been amazing. There's our sponsors this year, so do check them out in the summer or next season. When Everton are back as a Premier League team again, it feels great to say. Up the toffees. We'll speak to you soon. Sports Social
Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.